This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. At 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, November 26th, 2024, nice to have you here up north. We will be talking with veteran Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze in just a bit about the Trump transition, the latest developments, media coverage of said transition. We'll have Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau here as well. We'll hear from Rob in Tigerton about what's going on in his world as he projects his greetings to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who joins us now as well. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Pat?
Are you bundled up and everything? I mean, it's a little teens and 20s pretty much everywhere, right?
Yes, and then you put the winds on top of that. It's feeling like the single digits. Winter weather is
great.
we didn't finish the music segment, though, and I forgot what year it was. Let me get back up to it because I wanted
1968.
It was 1968 the year. The album, the title track from that album hit number one this day in 1968. It's kind of a weather-related song.
Yeah, definitely.
Can you remind me, what was the name of that again, Glenn? Glenn Campbell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pat.
Talks about the snow down south as he sings...
I am a lineman for the county.
Woo!
And I drive the main road.
Folks who...
for another overload.
For anybody that might have missed it earlier, Greg and I bonded early when we realized that at the time we didn't know each other well, but we both thought Wichita Lineman was one of the greatest songs ever.
It really is.
And never miss a chance to sing it to you, Brittany, and friends.
This makes my day.
Can't hit that high note like I used to. But you know, Tony thinks it's magic.
We're taking this trio on the road. That's right, Brittany. You're in the band, too, baby.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Rob says good morning from Tigerton and passes no judgment on our singing. It's cloudy 22. The wind chill is 7. 3/10 of an inch of rain and melted precip. Yesterday, he had an appointment with his sleep doctor in Appleton.
Oh, good.
It was snowing hard on the way down. Slush spots on 45 around New London. I saw a manure tanker accident along Highway 45 south of Clintonville that flipped next to a daycare that had to be evacuated. Luckily, nobody got killed. I looked, and sure enough, from the WBAY, a social media site, are some pictures of it. This tanker truck is tipped on its side. It took a corner too fast, it looks like, rolled, and the top, what would be the top of the tanker is nestled right up against the daycare.
Ooh.
That could have been a bad situation.
Man, so, I was going to make a really inappropriate Back to the Future joke, but never mind.
And Rob notes that today he'll go to physical therapy for his right shoulder in Shawano, so careful out there. So, Brittany, what do we do with this cold weather? I guess we hunker down. It's going to be a while.
Oh, it is. Actually, the entire week, a good chunk of the state stays below freezing the entire time. So that means our high temperatures are definitely taking a dip. So right now, we are looking at temperatures today climbing to the upper 20s, pretty much north to the mid 30s south. So another day for you guys getting above freezing. We'll see partly sunny skies as a high pressure tries to settle in. So a brighter day, but a colder one. We do fall back to the teens and low 20s tomorrow morning. And then we'll start to see some clouds increasing throughout the day tomorrow. We could see shots of snow showers, especially south in the state, later on in the evening and pushing into the overnight. So again, this is tomorrow night, and especially if you're headed down to Illinois, Indiana, they are looking at some accumulations of snowfall there on Wednesday. So then as we cruise into Thanksgiving on Thursday, partly sunny, actually some nice weather out there, except for at night up by Lake Superior. And then, of course, we could have a little push down south of a little bit of light snowfall Thursday night. But that'll be gone by Friday. A beautiful dry weekend ahead. But again, those temperatures staying in the low 20s. We get another push of a cold front Friday. So the weekend is even cooler than this week.
And like Tony notes on YouTube, I hope everyone stocked up on firewood, or the way that my wife put it, it's like, well, you don't have to shovel cold air.
True.
So that's true. And as somebody who threw out his back once while shoveling snow, it's a point well taken this week. Yeah. You know, you don't have to think about lifting with your knees when it comes to cold air.
I agree.
You just make sure you got the chapstick nearby.
A bunch of layers.
And for folks, I mean, some folks have maybe been deer hunting already, maybe for a day or two, or maybe this is day four for them. Other folks may not be going out hunting until Thanksgiving weekend. So this is, again, that reminder to bring more than enough layers if you're going out into the woods. Can't have people risking exposure or anything like that. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you once more before the holiday.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Yep. It is 7:12 right now on Up North News Radio, and it's nice to have you along here again. Jennifer Schulze coming up in just a few minutes. And thanks again to Greg and to Dr. Kristen Lyerly for filling in yesterday when, like Greg said last hour, it wasn't a backache. It was like back spasms, you know, the phrase stabby stabby comes to mind when you just feel like somebody's sticking a knife in your lower back. And that just did not lend itself to sitting on your tuchus for 2 hours and yodeling to everybody. So I, again, thank everybody for filling in. Thank you for your patience. We'll do a live show today, one tomorrow. And then on Thursday and Friday, we will play back some of our favorite segments from the past couple of months here. All kinds of good folks. There was Chef Dan Jacobs. Remember him from Top Chef. There's a children's author, Laura Bird. We had just talked to her last week. Our friends from Motherhood for Good, talking about what's next after the election. There's me ranting about, you know, Tommy Thompson and when Republicans used to make investments in our infrastructure. Let's see, Susan Crawford, a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, will be part of the mix, and so much more. Hans Breitenmoser talking about Trump and deportations and what it would do to the ag economy in Wisconsin and to the economy overall. So all that and more coming up Thursday and Friday mornings from 6 to 8 for Up North News Radio. So stick around for that. There's a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning by Dan Bice. That's the headline says, bitterly polarized. State Supreme Court justices issue fewest decisions in at least 27 years. And I can't quibble with most of the story, talking about how there were far fewer decisions by the Supreme Court in their last term, now that the state Supreme Court has a 4-3 liberal majority. And of course, there will be this big contentious race in April where conservatives could retake control of the court, depending how the aforementioned Dane County Circuit Judge Susan Crawford does against former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel, who will be running from the conservative side of things. But in terms of the decisions, the lower number of decisions, and the contentiousness, it's clear that things are extremely contentious on the court. They were previously when conservatives held the majority as well. But in terms of who's to blame for that contention seems a little odd to me, because there is a statistic in here that says the average decision by the justices was 75 pages long. That's more than double the average length of decisions handed down in other jurisdictions. And as somebody who has to read through these occasionally and quickly for writing up news stories about decisions, it's very frustrating to see a 75-page decision that you have to wade through. That is, in many ways, a reflection of a conservative minority that can't let go And I'm not saying they should necessarily, but boy, the dissenting opinions by the conservative justices engage in a lot of name-calling, sometimes personal attacks, and really running off the rails in terms of the legal arguments that they're trying to make. So I don't doubt that things are still tense and contentious behind the scenes. They were when conservatives were in charge. It's just that conservatives basically just charged ahead, said they didn't care. They were going to do what they were going to do. I thought it was really rich of Brad Schimmel to make a comment that in his mind, the problem was that the liberal justices are polarized because they are taking on more cases for what's called original jurisdiction. They're taking original action instead of letting things run through the lower courts. Well, I'm sure that as a former attorney general, he knows darn well that the former conservative majority was also known for taking up cases as original actions, and that both sides have done so with certainly the appearance of political matters that needed to be resolved, sometimes expeditiously. Let me take an example of one that wasn't taken up by this progressive court right away, even though many believed that it should. And that deals with the issue of school vouchers. School vouchers are costing you, the Wisconsin taxpayer, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And we're going to talk about that over the next couple of Wednesdays here in our homeroom segment. So many people still think the voucher school program is this small experimental thing. And it's not. It's a second entire school system. We have two parallel school systems in Wisconsin that taxpayers now have to pay for. And the voucher one is hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And there were folks, including Kirk Bangsted at the Minocqua Brewing Company, folks with the Wisconsin Public Education Network and others, who asked the court to take up that case to sue to have the voucher school system deemed unconstitutional. And they made very sound legal arguments. And I don't have any doubt that if the shoe were on the other foot in some way, shape, or form, the conservative justices would have taken it up immediately in order to make a decision that they felt was right. I don't know how the progressive justices feel about this. They ultimately decided not to take original action in this case, and it's going to take a while for it to wind through the lower courts and the appeals courts. And taxpayers will have to keep paying for private school education for people who could otherwise afford it this whole time. So not every case has turned into a political football, but clearly the stakes behind all of this indicate the importance of knowing who the candidates are and voting in this very important election coming up on April 1st. More in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tina Turner was born this day in 1939, 85 years ago. So we're listening to a few Tina tunes, including some that have very much a distinct 80s sound, like this one.
Oh,
from
yeah.
What was it? The Legal Eagles soundtrack, I think it was called.
That's it. You said to say Legal Eagles. Done. 80s. That's
yep.
It.
That's all. But look, I like all of that. We played Proud Mary earlier. Obviously, she had influence in all these different decades. I don't know if you had a favorite or not. I couldn't pick any one or two. I'd have to say that's why I picked them for all the bumper music today. I like them all.
I mean, honestly, like your first remembrance, you know, my house wasn't awash in the sounds of Ike and Tina Turner. So really, My first exposure to Tina Turner was this 80s output that she had. You
Private
know,
Dancer.
Private Dancer. Like that, yes. What's, I mean, What's Love's Got to Do With It, of course. And then and then you learn, of course, you're like, oh, she's like every 80s big 80s artist that was out there. Like, oh, she's been around for like 20 years before this.
Right. Yep.
And you're listening to this music that is incredibly soulful and funky. And then you hear about the history and what she went through.
And the cross-pollination on the videos, I'm looking at Better Be Good to Me, and I'm like, that drummer, he's really good. Then you realize, no, that's Max Weinberg. That's from the E Street Band. Oh, that guy. Oh, sure, him. So we learned a lot there. 855-75-CIVIC is our number if you want to reach the show ever, or just text us a note, 855-75-CIVIC. Tony from Ashland writes in on YouTube. We've got to correct the record here, Tony. He writes here, I thought Chief Morale Officer Kristen Lyerly sent you home yesterday for not having quite the right mood for yesterday. No, Tony. She heard about my sore back and said you couldn't be in the right mood for working, so you should not.
Wow.
And Kristen and Greg filled in so admirably.
Yeah.
So there you go. So no, I didn't get sent home. I'm not saying I wouldn't have deserved it, but it didn't happen. One of the things we didn't get to talk about yesterday, though, with my being laid up, was this story that came out late Friday. And it made me laugh. The Dan Bice story that Tim Michaels had, he and his family had donated more than $500,000 to Donald Trump's campaign. By the way, all on the same day. How coincidental. What a coincidence. And that he was gunning for a cabinet office and that he was this close to being named Secretary of Transportation. But as you know, Sean Duffy ended up getting the post in part because, Bill Michaels or Tim Michaels, rather. Tim would not divest his holdings in Michaels Corporation, the family-owned construction business, worth about $4 billion. That would have been a walking, talking conflict of interest because Michaels makes their money off of government transportation contracts. I mean, I know we all know the level of corruption that somebody like a Donald Trump is able to absorb. When even Donald Trump's people have a line and Tim Michaels goes past it, that tells you voters probably made the right call in the governor's race last time around.
The question I have is, why is Tim Michaels being held to this standard that nobody else is? Is
it because I'm sure he was thinking the same thing? I'm sure he was.
like oh, that's really funny. I got to confess, that's funny. Wait, you're serious? but wait, why?
I don't get more of a kickback on everything, more of a taste of everything. I get it because, I mean, there's so many things about the way that Trump grifted on taxpayers that just never get enough attention. For example, the way that rather than the Secret Service protects him, keeps him alive, and the fact that he charges you, the taxpayer, the highest rate possible, he makes the Secret Service pay for hotel rooms, you know, where they go. And I'm not saying he has to give them away for free, but he charges the highest rate possible and has made millions of dollars off the taxpayers just for that and some of the other accommodations that go into, you know, presidential travel. Again, anybody else tries that, people howl to the rafters, but not in this instance.
Yeah, this is
so yeah, that's and like Tony says, shocking that this was considered a problem for Tim Michaels, but yeah. Apparently it was. And so Sean Duffy, you know, this new resident of New Jersey who once lived in Wisconsin for a time and was a member of Congress and who left Congress abruptly and has been, you know, went right to Fox and has been a talking head on there ever since, is going to be Secretary of Transportation. And we've already had fun with that one, that his only experience is being on road rules. But I had no idea about the Tim Michaels connection until that came up after we did the show on Friday. And it's just one of so many little things you can talk about with this Trump transition and this whole team that they've cobbled together, you know, Dr. Oz and, you know, Linda McMahon from the wrestling world, you know, and of course, Robert Kennedy Jr. The one thing that changed since our last visit here was, you know, Matt Gaetz is no longer in the running for Attorney General.
Yeah.
I'm sure Pete Hegseth isn't going to last much longer for Secretary of Defense. I just think the stench around his behavior and frankly his white nationalist related tattoos is going to be a bit too much. But I mean, from a content perspective, Greg, yeah, you and I won't lack for anything to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I do worry that it's going to cause most Americans' eyes to glaze over and go, well, you know, so what?
And I think that's, I mean, I think we're already there, honestly. I think that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why Trump got reelected is because he has normalized his behavior. The media has normalized his behavior. And even to a certain extent, thus those like ourselves who speak up and out against his sort of behavior, policy, and just general existence, we have to almost normalize it to stay sane because you're like, that's another thing he's done. All right, we got to talk about it. And then we got to move on to the next dumb thing, crazy, quasi-illegal thing. It's just a barrage of insanity that people just don't have the time to handle.
No, they don't. And you know, they have to go on with their lives, their day-to-day lives. And so I'll close on the note that I put up on social media yesterday saying, look, there was no single day that the Roman Empire fell. It happened over a course of 100 years, a whole lot of decisions, small and big, that led to this once great empire not being such a big deal. And folks just kind of shrugged and went on with their lives because it either affected somebody else or they grew up thinking, oh, it's always this bad. There was never a better time. When in fact there was, when there were more freedoms, more opportunities for more Americans. And instead we're going to face what happens next with a collective shrug from a lot of folks. And that's unfortunate. We'll follow them here as best we can. Jennifer Schulze is coming up next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
/7:34 on Up North News Radio, with a reminder that you can continue to follow what we do at Up North News with our daily newsletter. Sign up at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Don't forget the WI. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage and be part of the newsletter. Among the items that Christina Laurie put in today is one about a crappy shop, or maybe it's about crappies because they sell bait and tackle, but all about one of the quirky places that you can stop on car trips around the Driftless region and around the rest of Wisconsin. There's one here called 14 Roadside Attractions Everyone Should See At Least Once. Of course, I always think about the big old fiberglass muskie up in Hayward, but there's plenty more as well. So some of the lighter side of Wisconsin road trips in our newsletter, again, over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Sign up there. Our friend Jennifer Schulze is back, a Chicago journalist who you can find at News Jennifer. At least that's where it was on the Twitter dumpster fire. Now it's Jennifer, good morning. Let's see, we've got... It's the thing with Blue Sky, and I've already done plenty of bragging about it here, but it's not an easy handle. I guess you search for News Jennifer, but it would be newsjennifer.bsky for Blue Sky .social. But I think if people just put in News Jennifer, they'll find you.
I think they'll find me. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And I like Blue Sky. I like that there are no Nazis, or at least fewer Nazis on it. And the, you know, I'm not a tech person to be sure, but there's something about the way that Elon Musk manipulated Twitter to amplify right-wing content on Twitter. And I still call it Twitter. I'm always going to call it Twitter,
same
by
here.
The way.
Yes. Yeah.
That is not happening on this other platform. And so that's a really nice thing. So it's, you know, I think people got a... a skewed version of things over on that other place because he was amplifying right-wing content and is continuing to do so. Blue yes. Sky's not like that.
No.
And
no,
so it seems like it's, for lack of a better word, a little more normal and just less yucky.
Yeah, because look, the thing that I say all the time is every assertion is a confession or projection. That could be what Elon Musk was saying about the previous owners of Twitter, which actually turns out to be what he is doing with Twitter. There's the whole notion of, you know, politicizing the Department of Justice. That's what Trump always accused Jack Smith of. But now you're going to see the Department of Justice weaponized and politicized. And Jennifer, as a journalist, you're even following, like, say, the FCC, where, again, there's been an FCC for the longest time. You wouldn't know because, you know, nothing really gets enforced. But if you're power hungry, like the Trump folks are, you can weaponize the FCC against broadcasters as well.
Well, and I think they've already not just signaled, they've said that is the plan. Brendan Carr, who's one of the commissioners on the FCC, has been tapped by Trump to be the chairman, you know, next year. And he wrote the section in Project 2025 about the FCC. And they have a really interesting notion that I think when you first hear it, oh, that makes sense. They want, you know, unlimited free speech. But really what they want is they don't want fact checking. In addition to that, they have this interesting idea that if you fact check, say, a presidential candidate in a presidential debate, as is what happened with the ABC debate between Trump and Kamala Harris, that somehow that is wrong, and maybe we should take a look at whether you should have a broadcast license or not. So they are actively threatening broadcasters that they're going to take a hard look at whether they ought to be allowed to be in the business at all.
And what that does, you know, is even if they don't, it's a lose-lose either way. Either they actually go after and remove a broadcast license from an entity where that would never happen before, or the point that you've made and reamplified from others is they don't have to do it, but the threat of it there is going to force newsrooms to second guess their coverage and pull their punches.
And absolutely, Pat. And honestly, I think we've all seen evidence of that, especially in the last couple of months. I mean, I think the Washington Post and Los Angeles Times owners pulling the editorial endorsements of Kamala Harris was an example of that. I think we see coverage, I hate to say it, even sometimes from NPR, where they're just pulling back just a little bit on you know, trying to seem, I think, using air quotes, fair, but in fact not telling the story quite accurately. I think that broadcasters are nervous. And then, of course, the amazing example is you know, the Morning Joe hosts going to Mar-a-Lago, was it last week or the week before, in basically a preemptive move to, you know, to get Trump not to come after them. He has, you know, for years been on the attack against MSNBC. And those two hosts, as you know, and your audience knows, have been pretty aggressive in covering Trump the last 4 years. And the idea that they called him and said, can we come and see you? Because the reporting is they're afraid of retribution. They're afraid he will have the IRS audit them. He's afraid of, I guess, they're afraid of all kinds of things. So they went down there.
But look at the other side. It shows such weakness. It makes you wonder if their coverage was ever sincere to begin with. So, I mean, they've thrown away all this goodwill. And frankly, if you're Trump, and, you know, I don't want to force too much of, you know, how much is reality and how much is TV. But enough Game of Thrones fans, you know, will understand when I say, why wouldn't Trump want to play the role of King Joffrey and say, how nice of Joe and Mika to come kiss the ring. But if I don't lop off their heads, you know, then how much credibility do I have? So I just don't. There was no way for those two to come out ahead doing this as opposed to staying the course and standing up for democracy.
I completely agree with you. And I would add two other things. One, they could have gone there to do a interview.
Right.
Where they, you know, a Q&A, not a secret meeting that we find about afterwards. So if they had done an interview with him and put pointed questions to him and had a back and forth and shared that with America, that's totally legit. I get that. The other thing, though, that really bugs me about this is I have seen, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I have seen no evidence that the parent company, NBC, MSNBC, I haven't seen anyone in a management capacity of any of those companies that have anything to do with that program stand up and say, we're here for the First Amendment. We're here for the right of our journalists to speak truth to power. I've right. seen nothing like taking a stand for journalism in America. And that, I think, is back to your original point. This, maybe they don't have to come after the license, but we're already seeing a chilling effect. And that's very nervous making.
And you're already seeing, you know, Comcast make the decision to spin off MSNBC and CNBC and all of their cable channels, which is kind of weird to hear me say Comcast, which I think of as a cable company, but now right. they're going to spin off their cable channels because they want right. to focus solely on streaming. That's a whole different discussion about where we're going. But again, right. it's thinking like a corporation rather than a newsroom, you know, operating in the public interest and being for democracy. On our text line, Jake texts in from Milwaukee, the mainstream media, even the Washington Post, folded that disgusting op-ed saying Biden should pardon Trump is horrible. Corporate media showing it's all down with fascism. And, you know, the frustrations of Jake and myself and, you know, our friend Mark Jacobs and others is... It's backed by the evidence. And what we need is, as I've said to Mark several times here, and what Joe and Mika maybe could have been is, where's the Sam Donaldson to Trump's Ronald Reagan? Where's that person that Trump would know that he actually will enjoy sparring with them? Because, and the reason I'm going to answer my own question is, Trump can't handle that. Trump can't find a favorite interviewer who's going to challenge him and he still feels like he'll come out all right, because I don't think he either doesn't have the self-confidence or is just so thoroughly corrupt. He does not want anybody with any credibility actually interviewing him maybe more than once.
You know, in Trump 1, there were a couple instances of journalists holding him to account. You know, he famously did that interview with Leslie Stahl where she really pressed him on a lot of things. And then afterwards, you know, he's never stopped demonizing her. Jim Acosta from CNN, when oh, yeah. Trump was first elected, was the White House correspondent for CNN. And, you know, there were a couple of times, I believe, that he was even banned from the yes. White House press pool because of the back and forth. So there were people who did that. But as you've seen over the years, and particularly during this last campaign, you know, it was always funny to me because the New York Times and others kept saying Kamala Harris needs to do news interviews.
Yeah.
When in fact, Donald Trump was doing interviews with podcasters and, you know, and friendly, not journalists, or, Fox is not journalism, in my opinion. So,
no,
I mean, he was
hosts.
Not doing yeah. interviews with journalists. And I think we should expect that to continue.
You know, John notes on the text line here from Milwaukee, Joe Rogan, remember that 3-hour interview. And again, it is, in my mind, a tragedy, you know, that the number of Americans who see Joe Rogan as their most, you know, their highest source of information. I'm not saying there's not a place for Joe Rogan, but, you know, again, Jennifer, as journalists, I mean, we die a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just yesterday, I believe, I think it was a yesterday show that Joe Rogan was spouting these falsehoods about Ukraine, and a lot of people get their information from him, and that is that is its own special problem, but it dovetails with this, you know, just who's going to hold Trump to account. And Pat, as you well know, even if he's held to account by some media, half of America is never going to know it. because
they won't hear about it.
The information silos are so segregated, if you will, that, so, I mean, there could be that person who holds Trump to account.
That person or that judge or that prosecutor. But, you know, they moved the wheels of justice actually can move too slowly that they get stuck in the mud and grind to a halt. Let me leave a little time from an economic standpoint, because as you passed along and as all of us have tried to explain, if we could just get people to if you want to talk about tariffs, hey, that's fine. And Trump announced that on some of our biggest trading partners, China, Canada, Mexico. He's already saying 8 weeks before he's sworn in that tariffs are going to go up. And I sure wish more newsrooms would figure out how to make sure you say at the same time, well, that means prices are going to go up. It's essentially a tax increase. Tariffs sound, you know, kind of lofty and distant. And I sure hope more newsrooms take on the challenge to draw the direct line to people's wallets.
And I think we saw a little bit of that before the election about how different companies, including, I think, Target and Walmart, were already saying that on their investor calls that they were going to have to raise prices in anticipation of this. But the problem, again, is there's the mainstream media, which maybe less than half of America has access to or interest in. But most of America is getting its information from non-news sources. Yep. So that kind of stuff, I mean, I think we can be pretty certain that that stuff's not being discussed, or if it is, it's not being discussed accurately. I think a really good example of that is, you know, there's this obsession, obviously, with polling, which is, I think is just ridiculous. But there's a CBS had a poll this week that said, oh, look, people think that things aren't so bad now.
I know. Amazing what an election will do that way. Learn more from Jennifer Schulze's points. News Jennifer at Blue Sky. Jennifer, we got to run. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. You as well. Take care. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, we should be visiting shortly here with Chad Holmes of the conveniently named Chad Holmes Show coming up on 98.9 WXCO. Then again, Greg, for all I know, you know, Thanksgiving vacation schedules might have gotten in the way. I really should be looking at these things more often. But here's some details as we were talking about. We kind of ran out of time talking with Jennifer Schulze there about tariffs and President-elect Trump threatening these sweeping new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China. He said that he would impose a 25% tax on all products entering the country from Canada and Mexico and an additional 10% tariff on goods from China. So what he's essentially saying is that the current trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, formerly known as NAFTA, isn't good. And so we need these more tariffs. And Chad Holmes joins us now. And Chad, pop quiz. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know who was in charge when the last trade agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada was put into place?
Would that have been...
Yeah, that would have been Trump. So, oh, yeah. So
how did I miss that one?
So this is Trump too saying Trump won. I was a failure last time, so I've got to increase the prices that you pay at the grocery store as a result.
If there's one guy that's self-reflective and
oh yeah, self-awareness, he can spot his own hypocrisy and irony a mile away.
It's a man growing into the role.
It's a weave.
Every night he goes to bed and he says, "Dear diary, today was an okay day, but there's always room for growth."
Yes. How can I make myself better? Oh, God. Not for myself, but for the American.
Oh, what a time this is going to be. Mr. Holmes, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
I go to my mom's.
Nice.
Fortunately, she's still right in our area here in north central Wisconsin, so it's not a long trek or anything like that. So,
and what do you contribute to the dinner now?
Besides my sparkling. Wit. Yeah, there it is. It's your wit. Yeah,
your sparkling wit.
My wit.
Oh boy. You lucky dog.
And then that laugh. Now,
yep. I know. I bring my joyful smile.
The question I have for both of you, are there going to be people at your Thanksgivings where you're like, just don't talk about anything at all? Just talk about sports, talk about the weather, talk about nothing.
Yeah, I've got that with a brother-in-law. And now former son-in-law, though politics had nothing to do with it, where you just know, like, okay, this is family. We're not going to do that here. In that I never bring it up.
Yeah.
If they bring up something, and by the way, when they do, it's never been to like pick a fight. It's been, what's the deal with, you know, such and such. Yeah. And then we talk and, you know, we talk it out fine. Chad, how about you?
Unfortunately, just recently, I had a major blow up with my brother.
Oh, no.
Right before the election.
Oh,
I mean, we had, I have sort of for a long time realized that he has fallen into that conspiracy theory rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I kind of kept my mouth shut because back when I first started my show, I got this very long text from my brother complaining about a show that I had sort of pushed back against Senator Ron Johnson.
Oh.
And he apparently at the time was investigating Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State. And I had this very long this text about how unfair I was to Ron Johnson. And it really, really, really annoyed me. I mean, it's not that I can't take the criticism. I just think that I'd kept my mouth shut about politics for a very long time because I realized that we think very differently. And then right before the election, I went over there and I wanted to talk to my mom, who we're very simpatico when it comes to politics. I wanted to kind of talk about the election, except he's sitting there and I'm just sort of biting my tongue. this is not actually a happy story, but finally my mom says, "Well, do you think Joe's going to pardon his son?" And I said, "Well, I don't think so at the point. I thought, well, because he said so." And then I heard a grunt from across the room.
Oh, the grunt. And, it's like a shot fired at Lexington and
right,
Concord.
Right. Yep. So then I say, and I had not asked, the big question for years.
Mm-hmm.
I go, and I use his name. I go, and who are you voting for? I was so annoyed with that grunt.
I really.
And then he says,
"Yeah,
Jill Stein." And then
I wouldn't have held it together. I wouldn't have.
And then I grunted, mm-hmm. and then and there was a little other part of the conversation which I'm not going to get into. And then I said to my mom, "I'm out of here."
Yeah.
And then I said something really bad, and then I left. And then he did stop by a couple days after that. But I haven't really had a long conversation since then. But unfortunately, I don't think that's an unusual aspect in this era.
It's very difficult. It's not because you've got a side that is dealing in so many ways with a lack of reality. And I know that they get very, you know, defensive about that. But again, there's such a difference between disagreement rooted in common shared facts and disagreements that you can't broker because one side is so dug in on something that has no basis in fact, whether it's Ron Johnson on COVID or Pam Bondi wants to be the next attorney general. The first question she should be asked in her confirmation hearing is, "Do you still believe the 2020 election was stolen?" Mm-hmm. And if she says yes, she has no qualification to be attorney general. I mean, so from the highest levels to the family Thanksgiving table, we have to get back to that shared set of facts, and that's a tough thing to do in this kind of environment.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's, I know, and frankly, I haven't figured out the answer yet.
No, so no, and that's, we are all going to be negotiating our way through that. You can help Chad Holmes with his negotiations on his program coming up next on 98.9 WXCO or through the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, guys.
All right. You take care. And Greg Bach is back with Matt and Air on Air, 10 a.m. this morning.
Darn right.
You want to be there.
Yes, you do.
All right. And you want to be back here for one more live show before we head into the long holiday weekend here on Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.